Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
In the future, none of you are heroes.
You're legends.
Get driven. Stay driven.
The following wrestling broadcast is performed by highly trained professional athletes. It is not recommended that their actions be imitated in any form whatsoever in the home. This is the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour with your host, Frank Namoli, and wrestling's masked cowboy, the Maverick.
All right. It's Friday night, and it is time for your weekly dose of retro wrestling. And, of course, this is the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour. I am your host, Frank Namoli. And by my side is the ever-present wrestling's only masked cowboy, the Maverick.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay indeed.
That just seemed like
and
a good way to
always,
start
if
off
you
the show.
What's that?
He's going to talk. He's going to do what he always does and barrel right over me.
I'm sorry.
Go
I was going to give out
do
the numbers.
Your, do your nope. spiel, Mr. Promoter Guy. Sell your used cars.
Hey, don't forget, if you want to call in and be part of the talk tonight, you can call in at 718-508-9883. And also, if you can't call in, you know you can go on the LAW Retro Wrestling Facebook page and send us a message. We constantly monitor that through the show. So it's a good way to get in on the show, even if you can't call in. How's it going, buddy?
It's going pretty good. It's another Friday night. We haven't been canceled. That's a good sign.
Are you kidding? We are now international radio hosts.
We are.
We have a listener in Israel.
Sweet. Well, I do know this is one of the least watched radio shows in the world.
Well, they're all pretty not really watched.
I know, but that puts us in there with pretty good company.
There you go. But yes, we have a fan all the way out in Israel who is a huge wrestling fan and just said they love the old talk. So I was
sweet. Hello, Israel.
Hello, and thanks for listening.
Do I have to yell when we're talking that far away? Hello in Israel. Can you hear me?
When we do the LAW World Tour, we will make sure to stop by a town near you. All right. Tonight's show is a good one. Because we're going to be talking about something that basically goes back to probably the beginning of wrestling. And that is the strongman. Wrestling's powerhouses. Wrestling's quote-unquote... I can't even think of a good adjective, but it's like the guys that you go to the circus and you see them performing these great feats of strength. And these are guys that even in the world of wrestling just defy the odds.
That was brutal even for you. Let me see if I can interject some actual verbiage that makes sense to this. The strongman in wrestling goes all the way back literally to the Carney days of wrestling, where you would have the ring and, they would challenge their strongman to test some strength and feats of strength, and they would get these enormous guys in there and, can you move him? Can you arm wrestle this guy? Can you survive his dreaded bear hug? And this is stuff that is maintained through decades of wrestling, and they still bring back some of those classic tropes. You see all the same things over and over again when I was researching this show, like from the 50s and 60s to the 70s to the 80s and even up into more contemporary times where you see the arm wrestling matches. Can you see this guy moving a vehicle, bending a pipe around his head? And it's just ways to go about showing dominant strength in these superhuman people. And I'll be honest. There were a lot that I realized how many bad strongmen there were. Just awful.
Yeah. Just because somebody had strength didn't necessarily mean they were pleasant to watch.
Well, not even necessarily pleasant, because there were strong men who got over and got a following, but there were so many overhyped strong guys who got in the ring and just were a dud.
Okay, since I know he's not on either of our list, was Doug Furness one of them?
No, you know what? I honestly forgot about Doug Furness, but there were guys who I thought, like, there was build up of, and I don't want to get too much into it in case they are on the list, but, you know, guys that just, and my pick, we discussed that we were going to have our top five and our bottom, and my bottom pick was, you know, so bizarre and obscure, I didn't even realize he had been on television.
Wow, that's something I want to hear.
Well, I remember the promos and the stuff leading up to him, but I didn't realize he actually wrestled and was involved in another infamous wrestling angle that, you know, I watched today, and I was like, wow, not only was this guy that forgettable, I mean, he was really, really awful. And, you know, for every big powerhouse guy that got over, your Big E's talking about modern guys, you know, there were just flashes in the pan who brought nothing to the game other than strength and just fizzled out.
Now, I kind of ran into a little conundrum, and I needed your advice on this. As I was doing my research, I came across a wrestler who arguably is one of the strongest, but do they have to be human?
Talk about the Wrestling Bear?
I am talking about Victor the Wrestling Bear. Does Victor get an honorable mention?
Well, find me someone in the ring who was stronger than Victor the Wrestling Bear.
Okay, so we may not be able to put him on the list, but I want to give Victor an honorable. I was sitting there like, that technically he was a wrestler, and
he was a huge attraction.
Have you ever actually seen any of the matches?
I've seen footage. There, this is how bizarre my wrestling obsession at one point was. You could go back and buy these $5, $1 DVDs of the golden age of wrestling. And that's where I got to see guys like Johnny Moran and Gorgeous George and, of course, Victor the Wrestling Bear. So I did get to see some really bad, grainy footage of Victor the Wrestling Bear. But, yeah, it was crazy.
He wasn't bad, actually.
Well, he's better than a couple current WWE superstars.
And then he's better than half the indies. He had gimmicks.
He's better than all the indies. Well, sure.
And as always, if you are following us on the LAW Retro Wrestling page, usually when we're talking out, we're always sharing videos. And if you go there right now, you can see Victor the Wrestling Bear. Oh, man. So, like you said, man, this goes back to the early days of wrestling and the carnies and all. And I just think you need them strongmen. And it's funny because the strongman can go either way. He can either be the biggest heel or the saving grace. And I just always find it interesting. And they could go back and forth. The same guy can go back and forth several times, and the fans will eat it up each time, you know?
Well, sure, that's true of anyone. But I'm a big fan of variety. And I think that's something that's sorely lacking from today's, because there are guys who are doing, quote-unquote, power moves that have no business doing power moves, and there's guys on the top rope who have no business. I, you know, enjoy a big powerhouse match, a big brawl, you know, a couple crazy guys going at it, a high-flying match, a technical wrestling match. I liked it better when wrestling was a full show of different varieties and different acts and different personas. And I think that's what hurts today's product and why they're having such trouble connecting to the fans is there's no styles. Everybody does the same thing. We touched on this briefly last week with the wrestling maneuvers and how there's nothing sacred anymore. And we talked about things like the super kick being in 30, 40 per match. Wrestling styles are the same. You got guys like Big E Langston trying to do complicated high spots, and it just doesn't work. And then you got little guys like AJ Styles and CM Punk trying to put 300-pound guys on their shoulders. And it just takes away from the dynamic. So when you bring in a strong man, what's the point? You have a guy who's so strong you can lift the Big Show when 95% of the roster has had the Big Show off his feet.
Exactly. You know what? You're 100% correct on that. That drives me up a wall. Because it's like you said, you know, you got some guys even currently in wrestling who are the strength and the feats of strength they can do is unbelievable, but it's so diluted because, like you said, you know, you got the AJ Styles, you know, hoisting guys up he has no business hoisting up. It's just somewhere along the line they lost that big man, little man, the difference, you know what I'm saying? In just that, you know, when you seen a guy like, we'll use a guy we use because I don't want to go in. But when you see a guy like Doug Furness get in there with like a luchador, he had no shot. He was tossing that guy around and throwing him in the air, and all, as it should be.
Well, that also adds to the dynamic of a match that's lost because you have these big guys and little guys, and the little guy would have to use his expertise, and the super powerhouse would use his expertise, and the whole drama of the match would be, can the little guy take down the big guy? Now the little guy bumps the big guy in the opening spot, and it completely takes any believability away from this guy being a giant or a powerhouse or a strongman. You look at a guy like Ryback. He's built like a tank. Really, really strong, but it doesn't matter because one kick from the Lucha Dragons and he goes sailing through the ropes.
Yeah, and it looks so bad because a lot of times they're actually bouncing off of him.
Right, and he's selling it like he got shot by a gun.
Yeah, and like I said, I agree with you 100% on that, and it's a shame because, you know, one of my fond memories is when wrestling had the weight classes. You know, you had the light heavyweights, you had the heavyweights. And one thing I always remembered was the old WWF. Tiger Mask was the junior heavyweight champion for the longest time. Now,
Light heavyweight,
I'm sorry. Yeah, the light heavyweight champion. And when he would come to town, you loved watching him against other light heavyweights. But when he got in there with the bigger, because they actually had him versus Bob Backlund in a match. And Backlund destroyed him because, you know, even though Backlund's not that much bigger than him, he was a heavyweight. And they just don't do that anymore. You know, it's almost like now it's kind of, you know, the little guys, oh, well, they can do everything the big guys can do. And that's that stupid X Division in TNA, and it's even like you said with some of the stuff in WWE, and I don't know, to me it just takes away from it.
Well, absolutely, but you know, one, there's a lot of different things that over the years they used to build drama, and like, you know, some of the big guys had moves, specialty moves. You know, and I'm not going to get too much into it, but because some of them are, I know some of them will be touched on my list briefly, but, you know, these devastating locks that were feats of strength that would just wear you out, and you had to avoid that like the plague, or, you know, you were in big trouble. And a lot of those moves have gone by the wayside. I think Chris Masters was the last guy to do with something similar to that, and it didn't quite work out the way they had hoped, or he hoped, but yeah, just having that ominous big monster presence, the strongman. A lot of them came from legitimate strongman backgrounds too.
Yes.
So they were the real deal. And one of the things it was interesting coming across my list is how many strongmen really weren't all that strong. It was gimmick. But then, you know, there were your fair share of guys who were just immensely strong, and they weren't built as strongmen. So it'll be interesting to see which way the lists go tonight.
And what's funny is some of the strongmen, and I know there's on my list, you look at them and you wouldn't think that they were strong men, but then it just turned out that they were just monster. You know, they had the strength to back it up, man.
Well, yeah, it's pretty much what I just said. But there's different. There's the strong man gimmick, and then there's guys who are legitimately strong.
Yes. All right. Let me take our commercial break, and this way we get that out of the way, and I can gather my thoughts. Because for some reason, I am off my game tonight. So we will see you in 5.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings of top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles. For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your girlfriend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well, then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Trash City Beads, the great bead store with the weird name, selling beads and findings for over 25 years. Visit us online at trashcity.com. Like us on Facebook at Trash City Beads. Unique beads, charms, crystals, and findings from all over the world at wholesale prices. No store, no showroom, we are online only. Visit us at trashcity.com. Trash City Beads is your online source for the best beads on the planet. Remember the name, Trash City Beads.
Hey everybody, this is Nick Wilkinson from TV Nation and Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment. Sadly, each year, approximately 3.6 million children become victims of child abuse. My latest ebook, Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect, explores the long-lasting effects abuse can have on victims. Explore life after the abuse ends and how we cope with the tragedies of the past. Child Abuse, The Ripple Effect is available on Kindle for only 99 cents. And don't forget to check out my website, actingnotreacting.com, a common sense approach to teens in crisis. Let's work together and make this world a better place. And remember, stay driven.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
All right, we are back after our commercial break. And we always know when we hear letters from Holmes, it's time to get back on the air. So, getting back into what we were talking about, wrestling strongmen. You know, sometimes we do topics, man, and you just, you know, some of them are harder than others. But this was one that literally we could probably do 2 and 3 shows and still not even crack the list of some of the guys that have been there.
Not for me. I'm one and done. I realized how little I like so many of these strong men in the business. I mean, some of them were entertaining. Some of them were just. This one was tough to pick five, and I ended up going with guys mostly. In some instances, I'm being facetious on the list, but I ended up going with guys who weren't necessarily legendary strongman gimmicks. They just happened to be ridiculously powerful, and sometimes they played into that, but. Well, as you go down the list, you'll see where I was.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's just get right into it.
All right. Again, I'll start my list. Again, no order, no particular top five. I just pick five that I like. And I'm putting this guy out there first because I have a bit of a habit of bringing this guy up almost every show. But in this case, I have a legitimate reason. You know, notorious for his physique all through the 80s. It's a big part of what helped capture the imaginations of millions, and then he used that superpower to vanquish many foes with a mighty body slam before the dreaded leg drop hit the ground. I'm talking King Kong Bundy, Big John Studd, Big Van Vader, Andre the Giant. He slammed them all, brother. Hulk Hogan.
You know what? How can you not include the Hulkster in a list? I mean, he, you know, and, you know, everyone, like, a lot of people remember him from when he beat the Iron Sheik and, you know, became but I remember him when he first came in. And it was funny because he was one of the first guys to legitimately body slam Andre the Giant. And it was much better than his body slam at WrestleMania 3. The first time I saw him do Andre, he actually lifted him and got him over shoulder and under for a picture perfect body slam, and you were just like, wow, because up until then you never seen Andre get off his feet, and he was the first guy that you honestly believed as a kid was going to be the guy that took Andre down.
Yeah, absolutely, and yeah, when he was known as a muscle guy in, you know, the Incredible Hulk, Terry Boulder, all the names he uses, you know, that was part of his gimmick was, and Thunderlips, the Ultimate Male, he was a power kind of character early on, and he slammed Andre, and he was literally the first person I saw slam Andre at the Shea Stadium showdown. It was the first time I'd ever seen Andre leave his feet, pretty much, well, and except to get, like, gang jumped and beat down. But, and of course, he was known for hanging and banging in the 24-inch pythons, brother. But, you know, legitimately strong, because he hauled a lot of those guys up there. And You know, there was just no denying. And you know, his first slam, you said, was cleaner. But how much bigger was Andre when he slammed them in the Silver Dome?
Oh, definitely. No, I am not going to even, you know, argue with you on that. He was definitely a lot bigger. But it was just, like I said, that initial time when he lifted him up, you were just like, wow, this guy is just, there's more to him than people realized.
Yeah, and here's something. And I looked around for a while for this today, and I didn't get to scour all the footage I wanted to, but I was back and forth because I thought I remember him slamming Yoko.
Hogan?
Yeah. But I haven't been able to find footage of it.
Pretty sure he did. I'm gonna.
And there's a lot of talk that he did on the internet. But I looked at a couple things. I thought for sure it was during the match in Germany. And I watched that match today, and I zipped through it quickly. I may have missed it. I kept going to the end, and I'm wondering if he didn't slam him early on, because in none of the finishes were always kind of the same. He would give him the boot several times before he went down. But the internet seems to think he did it, but I have yet to find video that I can remember. I thought I remember seeing it too at some point, but yeah, just, you know, the strength alone, and you know, I'm sure. And one of the things we'll see about all these muscle-bound guys is the inflated weightlifting. I just thought of somebody else I forgot on my list that I should add. I might be able to get around to that by the end of the show. But the inflated numbers as far as how much they benched and how often they would bench it, you know, at one point they were lifting millions and millions of pounds. But
millions,
you know,
and millions?
Millions and millions, brother. But to see that kind of strength, to scoop up an Andre and a Yoko and a Vader, and these weren't small men, Bundy. So
no,
Hulk is
no,
my first
weren't.
Pick is wrestling's strongmen.
And I'm actually doing some research for you. I have a Hogan and Yoko match, and they claim in this match somewhere that Hogan does slam him, but I am.
All right. Well, let's get on with your list, because nobody wants to listen to you watching YouTube.
You don't know that.
I'm certain of it.
You do know that. All right. Well, the guy that I'm going to start out my list with is basically the guy who made me realize that there were strong men in wrestling, because he was probably the first guy I ever seen that did feats of strength and was just unbelievably awesome to watch. And that was the Olympian, Ken Patera, who legitimately did bench press 500 pounds.
Yes. Yeah, Kenny was on and off my list for a good part of the day. One of the most interesting things, I was just watching a really interesting thing between him and Tony Atlas, doing a test of strength thing down in Georgia Championship Wrestling. He was the real deal. He was strong as an ox, and he was one of those guys I mentioned earlier on who used a finishing move and his strength to build a formidable weapon in the full Nelson.
Oh, yeah, the swinging neckbreaker was unbelievable. You know, he used to get them guys, and he would just, you know, pick them up and boom, 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 and, you know, they had the challenge.
Yeah.
And when he was brought into the old WWF, they saw the money in him right away, because he went right after Patterson for the Intercontinental belt, beat Patterson the first time out, and then it was like everyone was chasing him. And they had a lot of matches between him and Backlund in doing the, you know, champion versus champion matches.
Yeah.
And again, I always said, you know, when you legitimately believe that this guy could take somebody out, you know, that's when they were doing their job. And he was one of them guys that you were always like, oh, man, he's going to be the one that beats Backlund. He's stronger, he's badder, he's meaner. And I have fond memories of them, and I have also have some fond memories of him versus Hogan. From uh, I believe they were AWA matches, if I'm not mistaken, because I don't think they locked up in the WWF. But him and Hogan always had
I don't know if that's true. I believe Kenny Patera was an early challenger in before he went away. Him, David Schultz, I think they were early. I could be mistaken, but I thought that they locked horns a few times.
You are 100% right. You are 100% right because I came across Patera Hogan with Heenan as his manager.
Yeah. It was an early challenger for Hogan. Yeah, well, it was early.
Wow.
It was like right after he beat the Sheik. He went on, he wrestled the Sheik in some return matches, and then he was taking on David Schultz and Ken Patera and, you know, John Studd and guys like that before he got around to Piper and the Rock and Wrestling thing kicked off.
Yep, you are 100% right, but they were some good matches when them two going back and forth. So, but that's who's the, you know, that's who I'm going to start off my list is the Olympic strongman, Mr. Ken Patera.
There you go. Kenny Patera. He was a strong dude. It makes you wonder how his career would have ended differently.
Yeah, if he didn't kind of get that, Sayuto didn't want that fast food that night.
Right. I mean, he did come back. He did make a comeback, and they made a big babyface turn, and that was cool for a while. But, you know, then he had some injuries, and he kind of derailed him completely. But, yeah, he was a strong, strong man naturally.
So who you got next up next, partner?
All right. Who do I want to go with next? I'm going to go with the guy I just thought of because I know it's all saved up on YouTube. This guy made a gimmick. He made quite a turnaround, as some of these guys did in the 80s. And he wasn't particularly over, but he was in a lot of feuds. And the thing about this guy, he was legitimately strong. But it's also, I think, eventually, it's what kind of made him a star, but also held him back because he became much less of an in-ring hand. I remember early days first seeing him, and he was an undercard guy, but he was always good in the ring, and then he put on a lot of muscle. I can't imagine he did it naturally, but it took away a lot of his in-ring ability, and he became a powerhouse, and they did a big powerhouse story with him, and that's kind of where he finished his career, feuding with other powerhouses. And of course I'm talking about Canada's very own Dino Bravo.
You know what? I'll tell you, it's interesting you mentioned him because he was back and forth on my list. And the one thing about Bravo is I remember Bravo before he bulked up when he teamed with Tony Garea.
Well, yeah, I mentioned that.
Yeah. And when they announced he was coming back, I was so excited. I was like, oh, man, I love this guy. And then when they showed the guy, I was like, that's not Dino Bravo.
Right. He dyed his hair blonde and put on about 50 pounds of muscle, and he couldn't move anymore. And he, you know, he went from, you know, the Canadian heavyweight champion and a pretty good in-ring guy. He was never a big star, per se, but he put all that – and, you know, he feuded with a lot of muscle guys. He actually feuded with Patera, I think. I actually remember that being one of the worst matches I ever had to sit through live.
Yeah. And, wow. And of course, we know how he ended up, which was kind of a shame.
Yeah.
But I, you know what though, he was another one that you don't know how he got that big, but boy,
right.
Man, did he! I remember quite a few times him hoisting guys up, and you were just like, wow.
Yeah, I mean he was a beast. I mean, it did severely limit his speed and in-ring abilities, but it didn't really matter because he became that guy, that big, monstering, lumbering guy who would just haul guys up and would make it look easy.
Yeah. That he did. So the next guy on my list is one that I think gets overlooked in this category. Which is funny because if you think about it, he makes a lot of everyone's lists, and just the fact that he gets overlooked in this category cracks me up. And maybe it's because he didn't have the strongman physique. But I am talking about one of everyone's favorites, Andre the Giant.
You know, Andre was one of the first guys. Interesting that he made it. Andre was one of the first guys I was looking at for this list because I remember so many Andre feats of strength, giant feats of strength, and he was a bear. You know, he was just naturally strong, freakishly strong. And I think what ended up getting nudged off my list is how many of these challenges that they put on TV were so trumped up. And it's a shame because his in-ring feats were so great as far as strength. He would pick guys up and throw them around, and three and four guys. But going back and looking at the strongman challenges, these giant things they did where he would have a tug of war with 16 guys and he would just shrug his shoulders and they would go flying across the room in the worst cell ever. Yeah. It kind of killed it for me.
Well, and you know what's funny is because Andre's greatest feat of strength didn't happen in the wrestling ring.
When he turned that car over.
When he flipped the car over.
Right.
and it's the greatest story. And real quick, if you don't know the story we're referring to, one night Andre, who was world famous for his drinking, was at a bar enjoying some libation, and some guys decided they wanted to challenge him and piss Andre off, to where Andre chased after him, and it was in France, if I'm not mistaken, and they had these little cars back in the day called Le Cars. I've seen a couple in my day. I don't know if you ever seen one of them.
I've seen them around. Yeah, they essentially look like matchboxes.
They're about as big as a gremlin.
Right.
These guys got into their car, and before they thought they could get Andre, rolled the car over. And the funny part of the story was when the cops got there, you know, these guys are trying to tell them that a giant, drunken, angry giant came out and flipped their car.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Andre was a beast, absolutely. And then the car story is quite legendary. And I guess, I don't know if that was just an after effect of his condition or he just happened to be gifted like that because, you know, you've seen other guys with that condition, not nearly like you see a great Khali who has trouble lifting his own arm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And Khali's a power lifter, which is kind of shocking.
Right, but he never really seemed to be able to. Anytime he went to lift somebody up, it looked like it was a bad day. That's why they gave him the karate chop to the head. But he couldn't pick anybody up.
Yeah, now, one thing I seen Andre do that impressed me is he had a lot of good matches with Kamala.
Yeah.
And there's a couple out there where you actually seen him, like, body slam the Ugandan. And Kamala's not a small guy. So anyone that could pick him up, definitely, you know, he had something going. And like I said, one of the things I always liked, too, is they always told you that Andre only did what Andre wanted to do.
Right.
And he's been in there with some of the biggest. Yeah, he was in there with some of the biggest and baddest in the sport. And even they said, you know what? If Andre wanted to teach you a lesson, he would teach it. So I always think he gets overlooked in this category, so that's why he made my list.
And it's interesting. I did end up overlooking him in my final list, but, you know, you made some great points, and, you know, I didn't even take the car thing into consideration, which would automatically grant you access to any strongman list. So, yeah, you're right. He is overlooked in that department because he was so freaking large. But, yeah, good pick, Andre the Giant.
Yeah, like I said, and it's funny because you notice he makes so many of our lists.
Absolutely. There's certain names. When you're talking about the greatest of all time, there's certain names that pop up for different things. And, you know, I made a comment about Hogan earlier on, Andre Flair. He's not going to make this list. But that's why they were the best of all times, because they were able to, you know, stand out and do these things.
And you have such fond memories of them too, you know. That's the other thing. That's one thing we always say on the show. We want to bring back the old.
All right, stop plugging the show. We're in the middle of it. Keep talking.
We're on
go
the
ahead,
air.
Yeah,
you don't have to sell it. Do a commercial later. All right, my next guy I am putting on there as one of my picks, because my picks go back and forth this week. I feel like just bringing the quality of this list to a grinding halt.
Oh, no.
This guy did a strongman gimmick for most of his career, but honestly, and I've seen him be able to pick up some average-sized dudes pretty easy, but, you know, the absolute lack of mobility, lack of wrestling ability, and not nearly being as strong as he looked. One of my picks as one of the worst strongmen, Hercules Hernandez.
I remember him more for not having the strength of a guy who looked like that than having the strength.
Right, and they always built him as this epic powerhouse. And there were so many times where he would, like, drop guys or mess up a spot, you know, not be able to get a guy off the ground properly. And it was just, he was always one of those guys that was just like, he's pretty awful. And I never was a Hercules fan, and, you know, he had a couple decent matches, but it never really went anywhere. And I think my link's not working properly, so I need to go back and check. Oh, no, it's working.
Yeah, he just never... You would think he was going to catch on, and he just never did. And it's just I think that had a lot to do with it.
What had a lot to do with it?
The fact that he just... When it came time for him to do the strength, like you said, he was dropping guys. He was just not a convincing strongman.
No, not for the build that he had. And he had, and especially later in the career, like early on in his career, he was completely jacked. But, you know, as he started getting up there, as they got close to the Power and Glory and his ill-fated run in WCW, when he just was, you know, an enormous set of shoulders and an even more enormous belly. And he just didn't even, you know, he just like this fat dude who used to lift that you would see hanging out at the beach. He's like, bro, I'm the strongest man there is. And he couldn't lift his arms up to pick anybody up anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth. Oh, man. Power and Glory.
Herc and Jerk. What an awful tag team that was. An awful, awful tag team. We should do the world's worst tag team combinations.
Why don't we announce it for next week?
All right.
That's next
come
week's
back
show.
Wednesday when we announce. Come back next Wednesday when we announce that next week's show will be
world's worst combinations. That could definitely take up 2 hours.
Just tag teams that just didn't pan out. I could name them all now, but then I wouldn't be able to talk about strongmen.
Exactly. All right. Well, the next one on my list is one of my perennial favorites. And again, I think he's another guy that gets overlooked in this category. And that is, your jabroni. The Iron Sheik, strongest there is.
The Sheiky baby.
I had the pleasure of watching him do the Iranian Club Challenge live.
Yes.
And he legit, this was at an NWA Dennis Caruso show, and he brought the clubs, and they were legit. I could barely lift them. And he invited people from the crowd, and this was 100% legit to try and come in and do it.
Oh, well, he wouldn't just stop there. Sheik would do that in the back room with the boys.
Yes.
No, it was a legit thing. He would get guys backstage and be like, you come to the club challenge with the Sheik. So, you know, by the time you got to the ring and you saw the Sheik do the challenge, he had already done like 1,000 reps because he would literally take on everybody in the locker room.
Well, the funny part about this was, is like I said, he did the whole challenge and he was wrestling King Kong Bundy. Well, the Sheik didn't know when to stop. So he does his rotation, and he did, I think he did 100 of them. Well, now comes time for the match, and this is when the Sheik was older.
Right.
He was dead. He was dead
tired.
He's
blown up.
So the match went. It wasn't the greatest. And he gets in the back, and he goes, "Oh, Mr. Bundy, I'm so sorry. I'm very tired." And Bundy goes, "Well, yeah, you were tired. What the hell? Who the hell told you? Why didn't you stop at 20?
And to be fair, nobody bought tickets to the Iron Sheik versus King Kong Bundy expecting a Mat Classic anyway.
No, but
I've seen that mess numerous times.
But like I said, the Iranian Club Challenge alone, and people forget, like, he was, in his prime, one of the most feared guys in wrestling because he could break you in half.
Oh, yeah, and if you go back and you watch the Sheik, especially young Sheik, and the way he would just literally have his way with guys, he would just take guys and throw them, and not in an unsafe Brock Lesnar kind of way, but, you know, he could suplex anybody anytime he wanted to, and he had so many variations of the suplex. I remember him being one of the first guys. I was like, the Sheik's got like 1,000 suplexes. It don't even make sense. Half the time I thought he was making stuff up.
Yeah, I forgot about that, when he used to be the master of the suplex, and he would just take you into that literal, just like, you know, underhook, waist lock suplex, vertical, and you were just, wow.
Yeah.
So, definitely one of my picks.
Yes, it is. Yes. Yes, it is. It is one of your picks.
There you go. Who you got next, buddy?
All right. I've already embarrassed the world with Hercules, so I'm going to give you my pick. One of, and this one sneaks up on you, because he's not a guy who was known, let me take that back. He was absolutely known, and anybody who you talk to in the business who's been in the ring with the guy just tells you that this guy was an absolute genetic freak of nature. And I spent a good 20 minutes today just watching him give his spine buster to people and just everybody in the universe. I mean, this guy was so strong, just naturally gifted athlete, a phenom, and everyone always said so. And you really don't realize how strong he was until you go back and watch some of his footage and how easily he would just move guys around, and I'm talking about Ron Simmons.
Oh.
And now think for a minute of that power, how easy he power slammed Vader clean to win the WCW title. Legitimately one of the strongest guys. I was watching those video montages on YouTube and he literally just spined by that one arm spine buster he had that was just awesome. And it was just strength, and he could lift up anybody with the Dominator, the Spinebuster, and just put them down in a way that really, really rearranged their thoughts on life.
You know what? To this day, seeing him do that full rotation power slam on Vader, it is still awesome.
It really is. It's a thing of beauty to watch. Just him, just hold that, and that big, big man.
Yeah, because you were almost expecting him to use something else. And then when he hit it, and you were just like, wow. And then, boom, that was it. We had a new world champion.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, you know, and to hear people tell the story, JBL has told it, and I know Arn Anderson's told the story, that he never had to work out. And he had a 500-pound bet. He was just a naturally gifted freak of nature. They would all get mad at him because he would work out like 4 days a month. He would go to the gym. He would go to the gym, pick up a barbell, put it down, and goes, "I'm good." And he'd go out there and then just be a powerhouse where the rest of them were all working out every day.
And he was a bad dude, too.
Yeah, nobody would mess with him. That was another story about, you know, how the Steiners used to go around and have their way with guys, and they avoided Ron Simmons like the plague. It's like Haku and Ron Simmons are two guys that nobody would ever mess with.
Man. That's funny. It's like you look around the locker room, and the crazy-haired Samoan and the one black guy that didn't work out are the two that you would not mess with.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mess with Ron Simmons regardless. He was just a big dude.
Yeah.
I mean, he just even now when you see him, he's still in really, really good shape. And to hear that he doesn't work out makes you want to cry. And fast, you know, he had everything.
Yeah, he did. He really did. And you know, I think that his title run was too short. To be honest with you, I actually thought he should have got a title run in the WWF too. You know, but they saddled him with that awful gimmick when he came in.
The Spartacus helmet?
Yes. And I think that kind of, you know, halted his push.
Well, I think he waited too long to come over. I mean, he was clearly a step slower by the time he was in WCW a while, and then he took some time off, and then he showed up in the WWF with the Spartacus helmet. But even when they redid him as Farouk, which was an awesome gimmick, when we took the helmet off and he became the Nation of Domination Farouk, he was so good at that. And he still had a lot of that strength, but he didn't have the speed, and you could tell he was a little bit slower in the ring, but he still managed to do a ton. I don't think WCW really knew what it could have had with Ron Simmons. I mean, it was a transition period for sure, because that's when they were trying to find their way after Flair left. And, you know, they put it on him almost as a surprise. Nobody expected him. And then, you know, they really didn't give him much to do. It was like, we're going to give you the belt, but we're going to make you defend against the Barbarian. And I remember every wrestling magazine in the country, the headline was The Barbarian, a world title contender. And seriously, it really saddled his title, and then he's like, okay, well, this ain't working. Well, of course not. He wrestled the Barbarian. You went from Flair Steamboat to Ron Simmons and the Barbarian as your main event for pay-per-views. And you wonder why your business went down.
And didn't they have him feud with the Warlord, too, just because it was like any big guy with muscles they could find?
I don't think, no. I think Warlord was over in the WWE at that time. I don't think he...
No, because Warlord and Barbarian went at the same time.
Yeah, but Barbarian came back.
Okay.
Remember, they put him in antlers and fur. He put him in antlers and fur, and he didn't last long, and he came back. I think Warlord stayed longer, and they separated Powers of Pain. This wasn't during Powers of Pain time. I don't think.
Gotcha.
I could be wrong, but I don't think so.
Okay. Good enough. All right. I'm going to steal a page out of your book and put up my next strongman, not because he was the greatest wrestler. Actually, he wasn't even a good wrestler. But, man, was he a monster. And he was – what's funny is because he was supposed to be WCW's answer to WWF's bad strongman. And I am talking Bill Kazmaier. Remember,
who was
the
answer to Ted
him?
Arcidi? Yes.
Yes. It was like, hey, we're going to counter your bad wrestler with an even worse one.
Right. and yeah, that was.
What?
But we just need a powerhouse. It doesn't matter if they're any good.
Yes. But man, I'll tell you, Kazmaier, he was legit in every way, shape, and form. I mean,
except when it came to wrestling.
Oh, no, he couldn't wrestle. But boy, he was picking up and tossing around guys like Abdullah the Butcher, Vader, and you're just like, wow. And then he tried wrestling, and you were like, oh. It was like the fireworks. Ooh.
He was
such
a
high and low.
For sure. I mean, he was a strong, strong dude, but he was awful. And they saddled him with Rick Steiner, too, which another really strong guy. But it just made for an awkward tag team, because you could literally see the disdain coming off of Rick Steiner that he got saddled with this guy. Like, he just could not wait until this guy's contract was up.
But do you remember when they did, I think it was called the Battle Bowl, where you didn't know who your partner was going to be?
I loved the Battle Bowl.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Execution was always awful.
Do you remember who his partner was in the one he was in?
No, I'd have to go back. I know it was like Ricky Morton or something.
Jushin Thunder Liger.
There you go. Yeah, I know it was some little guy.
And all Caspar did was throw Liger at me. It was like Liger was a human prop.
Right.
It was him. And it was just funny because you're like, ooh, that's, you know, because you were interested to see how the team would go, and then just watching it, you're like, all right, if Liger just stays in the ring, this will be a good match. But we cannot deny the man's strength. We can deny his wrestling ability, but not his strength. So Bill Kazmaier made my list.
And I mentioned Ted Arcidi did not make my list, but he was exactly the same on the other end of the roster. He was a really big, super strong dude who sucked the life out of a crowd every time he got in the ring.
Yeah, yeah. And let's not forget, WCW, he wasn't the only. They had a couple of those guys that they brought in that were just ugh. Remember the one big swole?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was garbage.
Yeah,
big swole.
He was managed by Puffy? Puff Daddy?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Puff Daddy. It was...
Yeah, he was one of
Master P.
That's it. I knew it was somebody.
No, it would have been cool if it was Puff Daddy. Master P was a goof. What was that? No Limit. That's
no
when they brought me Brad. They made Brad Armstrong a gangster because they needed someone who could wrestle to save that entire mess of a storyline. They all sucked. Master P sucked. But let's digress.
Yeah, the No Limit Soldiers, boy, was that a bad gimmick. All right. Who you got next, friend?
All right. Let's see. Well, I'm gonna. This guy is both a really, really good and a really, really bad powerhouse at the same time, and it just goes to show you what the power of a good opponent can do to you. Because this guy had a $1 million physique, but is notorious for just not being very good in the ring, but he was fairly strong, and he played the powerhouse gimmick, and it worked better on some guys than others. This guy is legendary for all the wrong reasons and all the right reasons. My next strong man is the total package, Lex Luger.
Now that's interesting because you know why? I never considered him a strong man. I considered him a guy with a good physique, but I never seen him as a legit strong man.
Why would you say he's not a legit strongman?
I guess it goes back to how we started out the show. He was one of them guys that was more interested in, you know, doing stuff that, like, smaller guys did than actually. Because remember, you know, he had some, when he was doing the rack, you know, that was great. But that was really, you know, that and an occasional power slam was really the only power moves he did.
He press slammed Ric Flair 197,220 times. And body slammed Yokozuna.
Did he really body slam Yokozuna?
He got him up higher than you would have. On several occasions.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I'm not knocking. I just, for some reason, he didn't even cross my mind because I guess. I would have liked to seen them play up his power more.
I honestly don't know how they couldn't have. How they could have. All the guy did was flex and lift people up. It's not like he had anything other than power moves. He had a clothesline. He had a press slam. He had a torture rack.
Yeah, for, and you know what? You're 100% right. I'm not going to even argue your point. It's just for some reason for me, he just didn't stand out. Maybe it was just I was never a huge Luger fan, so that might have something to do with it.
No, I'm absolutely not a huge Luger fan, but as far as, you know, powerhouses go, literally I just posted a montage of him just doing his most muscular flex, because that's what Flexi Lexi liked to do. That was one of his big offensive moves. Sometimes Flair bumped on that. Not making it up.
No, I actually remember. That's why I'm laughing. It's like he did. That's an interesting pick. He escaped my list, but you know what? You can't. Now, I remember when he first debuted in Florida, and they were going nuts over him. And he was in there with some big guys there, like Ed the Bull Gantner, and there's a couple others, and I can't. They escaped me right now. But okay, I gotta. You know what? You convinced me. You changed my mind. You sold me on the total package.
All right, I'll be able to sleep easy tonight.
Good, good, good. I'm glad. Now, my next guy was one that was a strong man who got stronger. But when he was doing his feats of strength, you kind of weren't noticing it because he was doing other things. And then the guy just, you know, came back and he was just a monster. Now I'm talking about the late Davey Boy Smith.
He was actually the next one on my list, so I absolutely agree with you there. Because
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to steal your thunder, partner.
No. You didn't steal my thunder. It happened before we had the same list.
The thing that impressed me and made me, that I always remember is, and a lot of people forget this, remember when it was him and Dynamite, and Gorilla Monsoon would always touch on it, when he would do that high vertical suplex
and just hold the guy up there.
And he would touch it, and he'd be like, well, look at the strength of this man. And this was before he actually got to the size he did when he came back. Man, that transformation was like, wow.
Yeah, he put on a monstrous amount of size. And as part of the British Bulldogs, they were so revolutionary. They're one of my favorite all-time tag teams, and they were so revolutionary. They did so many things you had never seen before that I think how strong he actually was overlooked. But a lot of their moves stemmed around the combination of the speed and the strength. He picked up Dynamite all the time. You know, he would press slam them on top of people.
Exactly.
He would back body drop them over people. You know, 90% of the Bulldogs' offense was Davey Boy picking up Dynamite and throwing him at their opponents. And, you know, in some way, shape, or form, they would do all kinds of crazy stuff. And that vertical suplex, which is what literally made me think that when I saw Strongman, I thought of that suplex, that he would just hold guys up there forever.
And sometimes with one arm.
Yeah. And then, again, when he came back, and he had put on all that muscle, and they brought him in, and he was working with the Warlord in a power-off contest. And Vader, he had some big, strong showings with Vader where he picked Vader up and carried him around like he was a baby.
Yeah, yeah. And unlike Dino Bravo, he lost some of his mobility, but he could still get in there and go. Where he wasn't like stiff, because if you remember that match between him and Brett, that was a classic, and that was when Bulldog was a monster.
Was big, yeah, absolutely, and he didn't lose a huge chunk of his mobility. He was able to keep his speed, and he was always a much better technical wrestler than people had realized too. And the strength actually helped. I mean, he did actually streamlined back down again. Like when he first came in, he was swollen and enormous. Like when he was feuding with, and then I think he found a good fighting weight. He trimmed down a little more, and he found a really good fighting weight for him, where he was able to utilize the strength and the power, and still be able to wrestle. And I think that's the difference. Where Bravo just got bulky and stayed there, Davey did bring it back down again.
Yeah, yeah. But definitely one of wrestling's classic strongmen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, he was definitely on my list, so I definitely agree with you there, the Bulldog. You know, just so strong. And I don't think we ever got to see how strong he really was, you know, because it wasn't something that, you know, for a short while they made it a part of his gimmick. But, you know, he never really showed off the way you know, he always thought that he was holding back a little bit.
No, he never did. You know when he showed it off? When he was in there with guys like Vader.
Right.
But it was almost like you didn't know he was showing off because you were too busy watching him do other things. You know, like you were watching him wrestle and you almost missed the fact that he was suplexing Vader.
Right, right.
You know,
he made it look so easy.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know,
actually,
I can see why he was
suplexing Vader very easily.
Oh, good. Very good. All right, so did you have an alternate for the next one on your list?
Oh, the next one on my list, I've got to go back down the ladder. And I am pulling out one of my awful strongmen. And here's a strongman who was so bad, the Hart family could not help him. Yes. I present the legendary Floppus, the German Superman known as Brachus.
Oh, I forgot. Wow. He was around for what, a cup of coffee?
He's the one I honestly didn't remember actually being on television. And not only did he do a couple matches on Raw, because I posted one of his matches on Raw, he was actually in the Brawl for All.
Yes. That is the one thing I remember him being in.
I did not remember him actually ever being on TV. I remember them talking about it and training, and they sent him to the Hart Dungeon to try to teach him how to wrestle, and they were so high on him, and you saw the promos forever. It was almost like the Brodus Clay situation where they kept doing the promo, but they would never show up on TV. And I don't remember Brachus ever being on TV, honestly. And if I did, I washed it out of my brain because I remember vividly the Brawl for All disaster. I don't remember him losing to Savio Vega, but there's footage of him losing to Savio Vega, which wouldn't have helped his push at all if the first thing you do is come in as this over, just like Dr. Death, and come in on this glorified tough man fight and lose. And then, you know, they tried to build him up in this match, but Brachus was a quick fizzle.
The worst part is I just refreshed the page.
Uh-huh.
And it just pops up, Brachus versus Jesus. Like, what? And I was like, oh, Jesus.
Jesus, yes. But
I was like, wow,
Jesus,
man.
No wonder he couldn't get it. Right? He's not getting his push. I love his little chain gimmick. It looks like he's wearing a tablecloth. Yeah, Brachus was awful.
See, now you're going to make me pull out another bad one. But before I do that, I got to pull out a good one. This is another guy who, again, definitely a strong man, definitely had the physique, and I think he kind of got overlooked too, and you actually mentioned him earlier, and I'm talking about Mr. USA, Tony Atlas.
Tony Atlas.
Because remember, he was bench pressing people before people knew what the heck was going on with that. And I remember him actually, I think he did it to Hogan a couple times.
Yeah,
and
the thing about Tony Atlas that's interesting is as I was making my list, and I didn't omit him because I didn't think he deserved on the list, but I knew we'd get around to talking about him because just about every single guy that I went through looking at as far as the strongman gimmicks, feuded with Tony Atlas in a strongman feud. Ventura.
Yes.
And Tony Atlas, well, he is Tony Atlas, Patera, Hogan, you know, all these guys had run-ins with Atlas because he was so freaking large.
Yeah, that was it was funny because I came across a lot of arm wrestling videos. Everybody arm wrestled Tony Atlas at some point.
Everybody, even Ron Simmons, I think, on my list. I saw something with him and Tony Atlas doing a strength thing.
And that was why I was kind of happy I came across the footage of him and Ken Patera from Mid-Atlantic when they were doing the feats of strength. Where,
yeah, that's the video I watched today when they were driving the nail.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had
the
best
line. Go ahead. You can do it.
Go ahead. It's your pick.
No, no, no. Go ahead.
You don't know the line.
I do not know the line.
You do not know the line. That's why you're OP. That's why. Otherwise, you would have jumped all over it. They were talking about driving the nail into the board with their bare hands. And Tony goes, well, back where I come from, we just use a hammer. And crowd lost.
Now, what did you think about, because he, I don't know if you ever read his book.
No.
And according to him, they were legit, the feats they were doing, because back then they really didn't have money budgeted for him. But he's done that, and I've seen him do it actually at a live show where he used to blow up the hot water bottles and pop them.
Right.
You know, people are like, well, is that really a feat of strength? And I was like, you've tried blowing up a hot water bottle?
No, I've never actually tried. But I thought it was bizarre on the list when they were just like, wait, you're going to blow? And I thought he was just going to, like, do something crazy with it, but. Yeah, apparently it's a tough job.
For some reason, and again, I don't know, maybe, you know, if somebody ever knows this, they can message us. That was always considered a feat of strength. That was back in the old carny and circus days.
You know, strongman days.
Strongman
yeah.
would, yeah, he would blow up a hot water bottle and driving the nails in the board and all that. And,
ripping the phone book in half, all those old carny
yeah.
tricks.
And I remember there was a, and I don't know if you remember, Kazmaier used to do those World's Strongest Man contests.
Yeah.
And one of the feats you had to do was see how many phone books you could rip in a certain amount of time.
Right.
And it was that, and then a log toss, and man, you were just watching him like plowing through them phone books. And I don't care what anybody says, you know, like, and I've seen Atlas do that with the phone book. That takes a lot of strength.
See, now I have to disagree because I have actually ripped the phone book in half.
I'm not talking about the Donnelly directory.
No, no, I ripped the full size in half. I just did it a page at a time.
Oh, wise guy.
You had no idea where I was going with that.
No, I thought you were talking about the little business yellow pages, actually.
Do they still make the Donnelly directory?
No, I think they went out of business many moons ago.
Now anybody can rip the phone book in half. It's like it's smaller than the Sears catalog.
Do people even still use phone books?
I still get one. I don't actually ever use it.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever used one.
I just recently got it.
Yours? Yeah, I didn't even know they still deliver them.
Well, when I opened mine up, it said just use Google, dummy. So I just didn't even keep it.
Yeah. So is there anybody else on your list?
Well, I think we covered a great deal of them. We covered my list. Let me see who I wrote down. I wrote down a couple extras in case I needed to fill, but we don't really need to. Actually, the guys I put on the list that we didn't actually cover. Or, there's a couple guys today who are just superhuman in strength, and John Cena, Mark Henry, Big E. You know, so the strongman gimmick lives. It just lives in a different way. I mean, Cena doesn't get half the credit he deserves for being as strong as he is. Mark Henry and Big E both do the powerhouse gimmick. So it is a gimmick, even though it's not as prevalent and spotlighted as it is. You still have those power guys.
Now, you know what power guy today impresses me? And I think he impresses me even more because he doesn't look like a power guy. Cesaro.
Who that? So, yes. Absolutely.
He's just one of them guys that's like, he's got natural strength. Some of the stuff he does with the Big Show is just unbelievable.
Some of the feats of strength that he does that most people kind of overlook, they woo at the time, but they really don't think about it. It's like when he's standing on the ropes, suplexing a guy from outside the floor into the ring, the amount of ligament strength that takes.
Yeah.
And balance, like core strength balance, that he, when he picks some of these guys up the way he does in these awkward positions, I sincerely believe he does massive strength workouts, and not just with the weights. And I think that's what gives him and Cena both, is they do a lot of other strength, old-fashioned strength lifting, where it's a lot of ligament power and not necessarily muscular aesthetics.
Oh, it definitely is. When he does the giant swing, and there's some guys that he's gotten up, like he's done it to the guy who does the Bulgarian gimmick now, Rusev, and that's a big guy to be doing that move to, and he hooks him under the knee, so he is mm-hmm. lifting them, and then when he goes into like 20 rotations on it, you know, people don't understand that takes a lot of strength. You know, that's. And he just, but if you looked at him, you would never think that he was that strong.
No. I mean, he's in shape and he's built, but you know, the feats of strength that he performs that just get overlooked. And that's the one thing back in the day, man, they would have absolutely put over his strength in a bigger way, I think.
Oh yeah, definitely. Now, one guy that I didn't mention and you didn't mention, and it kind of piqued my curiosity, I got to ask you about this, Bruno.
You know why? I considered Bruno for a minute, and then I kind of went back and, you know, Bruno was strong. He was a strong man. He used the bear hug and the bat, and he was just a big, big, strong guy. But, you know, I don't recall. You know, Bruno was strong, but most of what I remember, and I may have missed a few things, but what I remember of seeing Bruno is mostly manhandling average-size men. How many times? I don't remember Bruno having situations where, like, he was carrying Haystack Calhoun around the ring. You know what I mean?
No, you know what? I remember some stuff with him and Patera, him and Ernie Ladd.
Yeah, but Patera was an average-sized dude.
And that's what I'm saying. And I know he did wrestle Andre once. So I'd be interested. You know what? I'm going to try to locate that because I'd be interested to see what he did with Andre.
Yeah.
And that would really tell how strong. Because you're 100% right, and that's kind of why I didn't put him on my list, because I've only heard the rumors of how strong Bruno was, but I've never actually seen it, you know? I've never seen him hoist. Like, I mean, if there's footage of him doing something to Haystack Calhoun, then guess what? we owe Bruno a huge apology.
Exactly. And I'm not saying Bruno wasn't strong. I'm just saying as far as, you know, you've heard the story, and he's been bear hugging and backbreaking guys. He was a powerhouse, no doubt. But, you know, to put him in, not to deny that, but I don't recall, I've never personally seen, I don't know, it could be out there of him just manhandling giants and lifting them up and stuff like that. But you know, you can be strong and throw, you know, guys around. Like I've seen, like honestly, one guy who almost made my list, but I left him off because I thought for sure a guy like Bob Backlund.
Yes.
Who also had amazing power. And again, he was one of those ligament guys. He did a lot of calisthenics and body weight work. You know, he did a lot of stuff to build the natural strength, even though he didn't look it. I've seen him hoist dudes up, you know, much bigger than him and not even think about it. But I've never seen Bruno in a similar situation. Not denying Bruno's strength. I know he was a strong, strong ox of a man, but that's why he didn't make my list.
Okay. Yeah, well, you know what? I'm not going to argue with you on that because, again, we kind of had similar reasons why he didn't make our list, and I just thought that was kind of interesting because I expected to hear him on yours, if not mine. But I definitely, like I said, I'm going to research and see if I can find some of Bruno, if I can find that Bruno and Andre match or find him and Haystacks, because like I said, I know he wrestled them both, and that'll be interesting when we see that. Any other honorable mentions you got there, partner?
No, I think we covered most of the ones I was thinking of.
Okay. And just for, because I had to get it out because we talked about it earlier, I had to throw another really bad strongman up.
And all right.
I found
what
one
did
of
you
the
do?
Worst matches. I threw up the Ice Train.
Oh, see, now I'm going to throw up the Ice Train.
But no. Here's what's funny. Guess who he was wrestling?
Who's that?
Another so-called strongman that WCW brought in, and he lasted about 10 seconds. Ice Train versus Max Muscle.
Oh, he was Diamond Dallas Page's bodyguard for a while, right?
Yes. And it was funny because I found the match on YouTube, and it says a huge muscle dream match.
What freak show dreamed of that? Now, let me tell you, there are a few teams I disliked more than the Ice Train and Scott Norton. I was not a Scott Norton fan.
Hey, wait, say that's for next week.
No, they're not even going to make my list because they're not even good awful. Like, the teams I'm picking are good awful, like the new Midnight Express. Not Ice Train and Scott Flash Norton.
Fire and Ice.
Ugh.
More like Slow and Slower.
It was so bad. Two big, fat, lumbering dudes.
And Norton was such a jerk.
Right?
There's a famous video, and you could probably YouTube it, where he teamed with he was huge in Japan, him and Hercules teaming up. Speaking of somebody else on our list. And there's a match where Jushin Liger, and I forget who his partner was, beat the snot out of them two. Little Liger, like, and Norton forgot that the cameras were rolling in the back. And on live TV, it's just back there cursing, flipping out, using a lot of derogative stereotype words. And then,
lovely.
And then Hercules just taps him real calmly. Scott, we're on air. Scott, we're on air. Oh, and then he's just. But literally, it's you got. If I find the match, I'll send it to you. Liger, it's at just one point, just has his way with these big men, which is, to me, was hysterical because the smallest guy in the match decided he was going to take them out. So, well, partner, I think we got another one in the books, and this was a good, fun show, man. I enjoyed hearing your list. Definitely not the way I thought you were going to go. But your stuff was good, and man, I had fun with this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of. It's interesting how much I that gimmick, that particular gimmick, just didn't work for me, and I think in general didn't work. But, you know, it's but to me, the guys who had real, real power stood out, your Davey Boys and your Ron Simmons, more so than your Ice Trains and your Ted Arcides.
Well, I think if nothing else, the one thing that our list proved, you not only had to have the strength, you had to have some other stuff on the ball. You had to have some wrestling. You had to have a little mic ability. You had to have a personality. Just the power did not get you anywhere.
Very rarely.
Because I think the only thing besides strong men that had as much failures would have to be big men.
Yeah, there's been a lot of big duds.
Yes, yes. Speaking of big, strong duds, remember Nathan Jones?
Oh, he was both. He was really, really tall and really, really a powerhouse and sucked at both.
Yes. Although you got to give a guy credit for tricking the Federation into buying his ticket home and then just rolling.
I don't think they tricked. They were hoping. They were going to start doing weekly tours until he went home and stayed.
It was like the
they only bought him a one play trick.
Yeah, it's like, hey, the door's open. You can escape anytime now.
Here's a one way ticket. We'll give you the way home when we get done the tour.
Boy, did they spend a lot of money on them promos.
Right.
All right, partner. Well, that's it for this week. Tune in next week for your daily dose of retro wrestling. You're going to hear our list.
You did it wrong again. You did. You said tune in next week for our daily dose.
Well, that's because you and I talk wrestling on a daily basis.
Yeah, but we don't make everyone else suffer.
Well, we do once a week.
Once a week, yes. On
so
one
you
of
know
the
what?
Least watched
like
radio shows
on,
in the world.
If you'd like us to be on Totally Driven Radio every day of the week, like Mike Ferreira.
Like Mike Ferreira.
Contact Bay Ragney.
I tried to get another show going for, but I got blocked. I had a great pitch and got blocked.
What was your pitch?
I wanted to do the Star Wars show, but apparently there's other things on the network that, you know, already are in place, and I just, you know.
Wait a minute. When did you want to do that?
What? Can't make things up when I want to. Dang other shows.
Did you want to do that on May the 4th?
Uh-huh.
Oh. Star Wars is huge. What? You know what? I'm going to contact my network connections and pitch a fit.
Regularly scheduled programming. Not there. I am not a big, like, if Mike Ferrara wanted to have a special, they would have put it on 3 times a week. But they're like, no, we're not putting Mav on the radio more. That's a bad idea.
Yeah, and when I heard your idea, I was in love with it. Namely because I was going to be the co-host.
I never said that.
Oh, I was just going to call in and take over the board.
Stay on the air.
You actually didn't have a choice.
Dang me and my non-prepared at all pitch.
Yeah, I was going to be that was going to be pirate radio on me. I was just going to be there. But,
keep calling in and stay on the air.
You know what? Why don't we just call into that show and take over? We could just take over the board.
Start talking Star Wars. Could be. We'll call in every show that day to talk Star Wars.
We should. What are you going to do, fire us?
We're already fired. You just forgot to change the password.
That's all right. You just got to type in Bay's favorite foods, and you'll catch it. Besides that, Nick loves me. Nick will give it to me. Just so I cause havoc on the network. So tune in May the 4th when we will call into every single show.
Regardless
and take 10 minutes out of their show to do our show. now they're going to be worried we're going to be calling in everybody on the 4th.
Like, oh, here they go again. It's been enough we've been contained on a Friday night. Now they're trying to bleed into other shows.
Well, you know, when you got something this great, you do not want to just contain it to one night.
Yeah, I think they kind of do.
No, no. We are popular in Israel.
We are popular in Israel.
That's right.
Other shows.
Yeah, yeah. When you guys get Israeli fans, then you can come talk to us. You're not that cool. On that note,
Israeli fans are the best.
Yes. So, on that note, good night, Israel. And now comes my partner, Snappy Goodbye.
Snappy Goodbye. Happy trails.
Are you ready to be totally driven? Totally Driven Entertainment Network has a full lineup of shows dedicated to total entertainment. Starting on Mondays, we have the always relevant and often hilarious Hard Talk with Big Daddy and Big Booty Trudy. That's at 6 p.m. And at 11 p.m., go 8 flights up and get your mind right. Tuesdays at noon, Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira covers professional wrestling news, rumors, and one-of-a-kind interviews with professional wrestling performers and insiders. At 8 p.m., join Smith Hart of the legendary Hart Family Dynasty for the Hart Grapevine as he goes behind the scenes and shares his knowledge of the professional wrestling industry and some truly remarkable special interviews, too. Welcome to Hump Day, Wednesdays, 9:30 a.m., the Coco and Wee Wee Show asks the age-old question, who do you love, who do you shove? And at 8 p.m., the Give No F's Cosplay Variety Hour brings you the best in cosplay, comics, video games, and more. Thursday nights at 5 p.m., Pro Wrestling Now with Mike Ferreira returns to the airwaves to cover professional wrestling news, results, and more. At 8 p.m., Totally Driven Radio, the show that started it all, brings you the best in topical conversations, celebrity interviews, exclusive musical guests, and so much more. Your Friday night would be incomplete without a trip to Uncle Shawnee's Playground. Join Uncle Shawnee at 8 p.m. and prepare to be offended, but, you know, in a good way. At 10 p.m., don't forget the LAW Retro Wrestling Hour, bringing back the golden age of professional wrestling. Saturday mornings at 10 a.m., the Mojo Sports Show starts your weekend off with a healthy dose of sports mojo. Get the latest news, scores, results, and more every Saturday morning. At 9 p.m., Totally Driven Radio rocks. Bay Ragney unleashes his inner beast as he takes you on a heavy metal journey and looks at the music he thinks rocks. That brings us to Sunday morning, the perfect time for a big weenie. At 10 a.m., the Big Weenie Castanini Show goes live around the world. And ending the week at 9 p.m. on Sunday nights, join the TV Nation for your weekly dose of the Nerd Herd and talk all things comics, TV, movies, and pop culture. Remember, get driven, stay driven.